Welcome to Pre-K Spot Talks. I am Melissa, your host and the founder of Pre-K Spot, the spot for early childhood educators to open up their teaching. I am your guide down the open-ended child-led teaching path, and together we will explore strategies and ideas so that you may open up your teaching to less stress, more engagement, and an overall joyful child-led classroom. Hey, hey, educator friends, and welcome back to this week's episode of Pre-K Spot Talks. I'm your host, Melissa May, and in this week's episode, Season 6, Episode 6, we are going to be unraveling the three R's, a journey into the heart of play, and the three R's are reflection, refinement, and re-engagement, and how they help us teach, help kids learn and play. Let's get into it. So picture this. A child, let's call him Max, building a towering sandcastle by the shore. Each grain of sand, each tiny turret represents a moment of play. But as any seasoned sailor or sandcastle builder knows, it's not just about the construction. So we're first going to talk about reflection. Our little architect Max pauses, squints at his castle, and thinks, does this look like the castle of my dreams? Does it remind me of the fairy tale I heard last night? This reflective moment is the first golden R in action. Of course, we don't exactly know what our kids are thinking then, but I imagine they could be thinking something like that. As the sun drips a little, casting shadow, and Max notices one of the turrets leaning slightly, ahoy, the second R, refinement. Max doesn't discard his castle. Instead, he pats here, he pats there, he pats the car, and he carves a little over here and perfects his sandy masterpiece. It's a little dance, a little back and forth waltz between the vision and the creation. Then night falls. Waves crash. Despite Max's best efforts, the sea reclaims the castle. But come dawn, our young builder is back, reinvigorated, re-engaged. That's the third R, re-engagement. With memories of yesterday's castle and dreams of today's, Max dives back into his sandy endeavor. Now, why does all of this really matter? Well, dive into the treasure trove of research, and voila! Dr. Linda Harrison's work illuminates how these three R's foster cognitive and emotional growth. Reflecting enhances self-awareness, refining promotes problem-solving, and re-engaging, it's the resilience muscle getting its workout. So let's zoom out from the beach and splash into a classroom setting. Little Emma sketches a tree. Her branches more like wavy noodles. Enter reflection. She recalls the majestic oak outside and realizes something's amiss. Refinement follows, as she erases and redraws and refines. Weeks later, when tasked to draw nature, Emma reengages, drawing upon her past experiences and adding her newfound observations. It's kind of like baking, right? So stay with me here. You mix ingredients, hoping for a delicious cake. After a bite, or maybe two, you reflect on the taste. Too sweet, needs more cocoa, you refine your recipe. And no matter how it turns out, the next weekend, you re-engage, whisk in hand, ready to bake again. So, my dear educator friends and play enthusiasts, remember, just as Max molded his sandcastle and Emma sketched her world, the three R's aren't just teaching techniques. They're life skills, life philosophies, setting children up for a lifetime of learning and growth. And I feel like that is always kind of our goal, is always integrated into the play. And that's what makes play so amazing, is that it naturally lifts up these life skills that children need, especially those foundational life skills. So let's conjure up an image now. Remember those captivating funhouse mirrors at carnivals? The ones that stretch, squish, twist, our reflections? That's child's play in its essence. Every action, every game, every playful moment is a mirror reflecting back a world of learning. This is what we mean about children using play to figure out how they experienced the world or make sense of the world around them and make sense of their experiences and their place within the world. So let's look into a classroom where paper planes aren't just a pastime. They're a lesson in aerodynamics and self-reflection. After every flight, children ponder, why did my plane nosedive? Was the fold imperfected or was the launch angle too steep? Okay, this is really our classroom. But this is some of the stuff that we go through. We almost always have reflection in trying to keep the paper airplanes together. Because I guess whichever way I fold them, they are folded up. They have a great little triangle and some decent wings. But they always fold out. They kind of like don't stick together. So we always have to figure out how to make them stick together. Of course, I know what to do, but the kids need to notice this and figure it out. There's always one child who's like, it needs to stick together. So then I say, well, how can you do that? And then we figure it out. They almost always go to glue first. Sometimes glue works if they put enough, but then they almost always land on tape. And then we have to figure out the best way to put the tape on. So there's a lot of reflection going on here with our paper airplanes. Then once they figure out how to keep them together, they have to figure out how to throw them. And they figure out if they have to throw it straight or if it can go fast or if folding them a different way will get them to go further. We sometimes have plane throwing contests to see how far they can go or see how high they can go. And inevitably, they lose interest and the planes are over. But there is so much learning and reflection that goes on with the paper airplanes, and it's always so much fun. I highly suggest allowing the kids to have paper airplanes in your class. So here's a little research for you. A study from Harvard's Graduate School of Education reveals that children who engage in reflective play exhibit deeper understanding, sharper recall, and, most importantly, a love for the process of learning. It's not about the highest flying plane, but the journey to get there. I mean, is that not what play offers? Is that not what I feel like most play educators believe in? Growth mindset, play, they all go hand in hand because it's about the process of getting there. I mean, how many times have we said that kids just want to play with the boxes or they spend most of their time setting up and never actually playing? This is another reason why we save things to re-engage and to re-engage all of the thinking that they had yesterday. They set up, they set up, they set up, they set up, but then maybe time runs out, especially in a setting like school, time does run out. So we save whatever we can save so that they can re-engage and play tomorrow. They may continue to set up even more, but oftentimes I find that they spend a couple of days setting up and then the rest of the time playing. Have you ever wondered why stories of old often feature characters gazing into mirrors or still waters, uncovering truths and revelations? Reflection. In play and life, reflection is powerful. It's that powerful. Let's journey to the vibrant streets of Barcelona. In the heart of the city is a mosaic masterpiece by Gaudí, if I remember my proper pronunciation from when I went there, and I probably still butchered it, called Park Güell. The place is beautiful. Little Elena, a local, doesn't just see the tiles and colors. Inspired by her art teacher, she reflects. What stories do these patterns tell? How do they make me feel? Her playground becomes a canvas of reflection. And we can teach little kids to think about these questions. Of course, are children going to be thinking about these questions as deeply or as abstractly as an adult? Definitely not. But just experiencing them and starting to think about asking different questions and reflecting is going to give them the experience and teach them how to do this later on when they do become adults. Now, let's bring it a little bit closer to home. How can we, the torchbearers of education, harness this mirror of reflection in our classrooms? Simple actions, like a question jar filled with prompts, like how did that game make you feel? Or what would you change if you played again? Can stir the deepest reflections. I love to do a little share sometimes or a closing circle every single day. And I ask the kids, what was their favorite thing today, or how did certain things make them feel, or what do they remember about their day, how do they feel about their day in pre-K. Sometimes we ask questions about connecting with friends. Kind of if we see little issues in the classroom, we bring up different questions. And if we think about reflection as that cozy little bedtime story ritual after the day's play, it's that gentle voice asking, so what part of the story did you love the most? It's in these still moments between the lines of the stories and the folds of the paper planes that the truest lessons emerge. So that's why I love to do something at the end of the day. The kids all have their backpacks on. You know, we don't go too deep because they're not always, they're ready to move on at the end of the day, but they're always there ready to think about their day. And this gets them really used to doing that. And then sometimes towards the end of the year, we start sharing after work time, especially if we have a few extra minutes between our story and moving on to lunch. I love to just be like, so share with me something that you built today. How did you feel about it? What did you notice about other people's work today? And even in the beginning, when they don't ever think about that, the more that we ask these questions and the more that they know that they might be asked, the more they start to become aware, or they look around, or they remember and start to commit it to memory. It's so easy to reflect with small children by just asking them what happened a few minutes ago or what they just did, and then start taking it to places where they're thinking more and feeling more and things like that. So now it's time to plunge into the riveting realm of refinement. Picture this, a sculptor chiseling away, each gentle tap, not just shaping, but refining, perfecting. That's what refinement in play feels like. So now it's time to go on a little journey. Remember those old Polaroid cameras? Click and out pops a photo, slowly coming to life. But sometimes the lighting's off or the subject's blurry. So what do? We adjust, we retake, we refine. Now we don't have to do that with a Polaroid camera anymore. We just do that with our digital cameras. Digital cameras, that made me sound old. We just do that with our phones. Everything is digital now. You can erase, you can redo, but that is literally refinement in action. Children's play resonates with this same philosophy. They're like mini photographers, capturing moments and refining them for that picture-perfect shot. In the bustling world of the classroom next door, refinement reigns supreme. So picture this with me. Kids busily crafting with loose parts. They're doing buildings or boats or whatever they want to call it that day. Some of the items fall over. Some of them stand tall. But instead of dismay, there's determination. Kids go back, tweaking designs, refining the different parts that they're using to be stronger or to be taller, all aiming for that perfect, well, maybe not perfect, don't love to use that word, but what is perfect in their mind of the building that they're trying to get. Dr. Stephanie Carlson's work at the University of Minnesota spotlights the beauty of refinement. Children, when encouraged to refine their play strategies, not only enhance their skills, but also boost their self-confidence and perseverance. Have you ever bitten into a chocolate chip cookie and thought, needs more chips? That's refinement in the real world. All of those little moments when you're like, I could use more, or that was great, or your comments or complaints. That's literally you trying to refine the thing that you were just doing or you just had to where you want it to be. Now, of course, where you want it to be might not be the same as somebody else, but you are all still practicing refinement. So just as bakers tweak recipes seeking that melt-in-your-mouth perfection, children refine their play, seeking joy, seeking understanding. Like maybe they're reflecting and refining and reflecting and refining and reflecting and refining because it still hasn't made sense of the experience that they're trying to make sense of. Or maybe they just like haven't gotten to the building that they have in their mind. So they go through this process constantly and over again. Another R should be repetition. As teachers, we're using refinement all the time. We're teaching refinement. I did it just recently during our tree study. I asked the children to draw a picture of a tree. Just based off of their knowledge, we hadn't really done a lot with trees. This is like one of the first 2 days. And then we specifically learned the parts of a tree. We learned more about trees. We learned how to draw a tree in a couple of different ways. So then we went back outside and did another observational drawing of the same trees that we did before, and they looked completely different. I heard completely different language. Trees had more details. They had more lines. They had more branches. They didn't have leaves because we did it during winter. But we taught refinement without knowing we taught refinement. And then the kids were using refinement without even knowing that they were using it because they had so much more knowledge. They had so much more information, and their trees turned out better than the first time. So for you educational wizards out there, conjuring the magic of refinement is all about celebrating the process, not just the outcome. Setting up iteration stations where kids revisit activities, offering redo days. You can call it whatever you want to call it, or you can bake it into your philosophy like I do. You just want the focus. The focus is on refining past projects and, above all, embedding the mantra, it's okay to refine and redefine. So let's embrace refinement as our co-pilot guiding us and our young learners through the mesmerizing journey of play. Remember, it's not about getting it right the first time, but relishing the journey of getting there. Process over product. We know we love that phrase. Now, let's round out our journey. We're going to dive into the rejuvenating waters of re-engagement. It's like the phoenix rising anew from the ashes of yesterday's play, ready to take on today with even more zeal. Let's picture a garden. After winter, plants that seemed dormant burst forth in colorful celebration. This is re-engagement. It's not just revisiting an old game or toy, but breathing fresh life, fresh perspective into it. Let's zoom into a classroom. A bin of old toys sits in a corner. Every month, the teacher reintroduces them, not just as toys, but challenges. Ooh, do I love to say challenge? Like, do I love to give a challenge? It's the best way to reframe so many things. An old puzzle can become a race against the clock, or a forgotten board game turns into a storytelling activity. The toys aren't new, but the engagement, the challenge, the reframing of them, they're reborn. A touch of research, shall we? Dr. Ellen Booth Church emphasizes the brilliance of re-engagement. It fosters adaptability, resilience, and the joy of discovery, even in familiar terrains. Now, let's switch gears for a moment. Think of your favorite movie. Why do we rewatch classics, knowing every twist and line? In my house, we are obsessed with rewatching movies. I'm pretty sure my husband, who was obsessed with John Wick, when the fourth one came out, he saw it in the theater, and then when it came out on streaming, we must have watched it, I don't know, 6 times in a 2-day period, because he just kept putting it on over and over because he loved it so much. With each viewing, right, we re-engage, find new details, and they form deeper connections to the characters, to the movie, to all of it. Children do the same thing in their playful world. Let me tell you the perfect example of this. Now, again, I said we are re-watchers. We are also TV people to the point where, like, when we're cleaning or we're doing some type of a project, we almost always have the TV on in the background. It's just the way that we work. So one of the shows that we watch over and over, or is our background show, is The Office. And I must have watched from beginning to end, all episodes, all seasons, at least 2 or 3 times before I ever noticed the Homer doll in the background in the middle of the office. It sits on top of a file cabinet. And my husband was like, "Are you serious?" He's always there and everybody notices him and everybody talks about him all the time. And I was like, meh, I don't know how many times I've seen the episodes of The Office or the seasons and I never noticed him. And I don't know how I noticed him, or if I just noticed him, or if I like read something or somebody pointed it out. I forget exactly like where the re-engagement took place, or I guess the realization through the re-engagement when it took place. It just happened, but that's because I continued to re-engage. And you re-engage and you learn new little things every single time. It's like I said, it's like watching the movie the second time and you notice something. Or you can pay attention to different details because you already know what's going to happen. You're not sucked into the suspense, or you're not so worried for the characters. You can think about other things. You can hear the nuances. I mean, I watched a movie that I hadn't watched in a really long time just the other night. And I just connected what they said differently than before. And this is why re-engagement is so important, because this is how children are really going to cement the learning that they get out of their play. And this is the beauty of the classic games and the classic play that we probably played, children and animals have been playing for years. Think of tag. You know, the game is so classic that anybody can play it, and there's so many things you can add to it. And it's not just about the thrill of the chase. It changes every time you play with somebody new, or you try a new strategy to get away the next day, or you take on different roles. Like maybe one day you're constantly the tiger. And it lets kids re-engage, finding a new joy and new challenges. For our fabulous educators championing re-engagement, this means that fostering an environment where revisiting isn't repetition, but rejuvenation. It's about encouraging kids to wear different hats. Today they're players, tomorrow they might be the rule makers. So as we wrap up, remember, in the ever-evolving dance of play, while reflection and refinement are the rhythmic steps, re-engagement is the spirited twirl, bringing joy and novelty to each round. So let's pledge to keep the spirit of play ever fresh, ever vibrant. Let's remind ourselves and our little ones that every game, every activity holds a universe of new possibilities waiting to be explored. And so just some ideas and tips and tricks for doing this. You don't have to do much to make this happen. We talked about a few along the way, but if you want to engage in reflection and reflection of their play or reflection of the day, have a little mini meeting after playtime. Ask the children what they played. Ask them to share something. Take pictures. Show them the pictures of what they did and talk about their play. Have a closing circle at the end of the day. Ask them how they felt about something today, something that they remembered, what was their favorite thing, how did they feel about it, and start asking why as the year goes on. Again, pictures are a really great way to do this. You could have a Friday meeting and show the children the pictures of everything they did that week. Encourage parents to take the pictures that you send home and talk to their children about it. Other ways for refinement are to just make sure you're building a culture of safety in the classroom so that children know that trying and the process is what's most important. And get them to work together on things. Together, other children's ideas help the refinement. Also, it helps for re-engagement. Maybe one day a child is playing with the blocks, but then when another child joins them, they re-engage in different ways. Now, you could think about re-engagement and possibly, you know, removing some materials and putting other materials out and just changing it up a little bit. You know, that can get complicated, but it is also an important thing to do because sometimes you see that maybe they're not pushing beyond or they're not pushing further in their creativity. So maybe you just need to switch things up a little bit. Sometimes, every once in a while, I love to just say, oh no, the block area is closed today, and see what happens when you just push children into other areas. And it's a simple thing to do. Yes, it may not be the most child-led, but you're not taking away their play. You're not taking things away from them. You're just shifting it for a moment. It's not like you're going to close the block area forever. It's just, oh, today it's closed. Let's go try something different. And then maybe they go back to the light table and a child that's been playing in blocks for weeks decides to go to the light table. Now, these are all just ways to, I guess, kind of force it. It doesn't need to be forced. The children are naturally going to engage in this, especially if you offer up just a few simple questions or if they ask you to play with them, you can just guide it in different ways. But it will happen naturally anyway. But to me, these are the kinds of things where teachers should be stepping in, or these are the kinds of things that we want children to learn and we can offer support as a teacher in. We don't need to support them in teaching academics and deep, deep, deep content. We need to teach them the skills, the process, the learning, so that they have that really solid foundation to learn all of the content later. And this is that base foundation, reflecting on their work, being able to make some changes, and being able to revisit and see it in a new light. And that's it for this episode. We will see you in the next one. Until then, play on.